So have you ever been hungry? So what do you do when you get hungry?
Eat.
Boy, I love the look on Leo's face. Eat. Yeah. Well, Jesus is hungry too at the beginning of our gospel passage, but it's a different kind of hunger. His hunger for God drives him into the desert, where there is nothing but God. And he seeks no nourishment except for God. Why does Jesus go hungering after God? Because God is all that is good and true and beautiful. And life comes only from God. Jesus knows that. But the man and woman in Eden forgot that. That life comes only from God, even though it was God who blew the breath of life into their nostrils, and they became living beings because of God. The snake made them believe that God was holding out on them, and that they could find life through what was good to eat and pleasing to the eyes. And enticing to the ego. In other words, that they could find life from satisfying their selfish greed. And so, once they sell their birthright for that, they realize they are naked. In other words, lust becomes the first manifestation of disorder in the harmony of creation. The objectification of another for one's own possession or pleasure. But you know, the snake was right. The man and woman, even though they had been fashioned originally in the image and likeness of God, who is free and all love, and never acts out of selfishness or greed, the man and woman would in fact become like gods through their disobedience, as the snake promised them. But like the pagan gods who dominate and manipulate and serve their own self-interest. Yes, the man and woman did in fact become like the gods. Not like the true and living God, who creates all things out of nothing in an act that is an outpouring of his being, who he really is. The true and living God calls all things into being, not to dominate and manipulate them, but to share with them his eternal goodness and beauty. And this is the God whom his son goes into the desert to seek. But because Jesus is a man, after 40 days of seeking no nourishment except for God, he is hungry for material food. Ah, now the devil sees a crack in Jesus' hunger by which he dares to think that he can infiltrate Jesus' soul and make him like the pagan gods. And so he says, Jesus, command these stones to be made into bread. But it doesn't work. Because instead of manipulating creation for his own needs, Jesus likes the stones as they are, as he created them. He likes himself as he is, one who never acts out of selfishness or greed, and he leaves his creation undisturbed. So the devil tries again to make Jesus betray his true self and become like the pagan gods, who use their personal power to intimidate. And so the devil wants Jesus to perform some dazzling acts from the pinnacle of the temple that will inspire awe. But Jesus says, nope, been there, done that. As we hear in 1 Kings. Now when the priest came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of God. And because of the cloud, the priests could not stay and perform their duties. For the glory of God filled the temple of God. But you see, God did that then, not to intimidate, but to reveal to his people his beautiful presence. And so now Jesus, the radiance of the Father's glory, chooses to reveal to us his beautiful presence in a more quiet way, by dwelling among us, in our midst as one of us, by being a gentle guest in our hearts if we admit him, and yes, as bread and wine. This is how Jesus chooses to reveal his glory to us. See how non-threatening, how loving, how unselfish, how free the Son of the Father is. This Lent, we want to examine ourselves and see if we are indeed living as those who have been created in the image and likeness of the true God, whose image and likeness we see in Jesus, the normative human being. Or if we have sold our birthright to become like the gods the snake promised us we could be by controlling and manipulating for our own self-interest or ego enhancement. May the true and living God be glorified forever. Amen.